Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. So, welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. You are at the spot. Here is the place where the conversations are pointed and the guests are sharp. Oops, right there. And the responses are never dull. Today, we have Janelle and Gregory Watson from Australia. They are the founders of Feather of Gold. We're going to talk to them about that. They tell me that they are energy activators. Really? Now, how do you activate that? I'm going to talk to them a little bit about the world of tech because both of them are in technology. And I want to hear Janelle's perspective being a woman in that tech space, which is normally, you know, historically been a male-dominated area. We're going to talk about the work that they do, the light language. So before we delay anymore, let's welcome them to the edge. Hello, Janelle and Gregory. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you. We're very excited to be here.
I told them, I said, look at them. They look absolutely gorgeous. Let me see how long that ponytail is, Gregory.
Not as long or as thick as it used to be.
Wow. I know. Why do we lose our hair for some reason? I guess we came into the world bald, but why in the world? Because it's crazy.
Yeah. It's the way it goes. So.
I know. And men get so sensitive about it. My husband is completely bald, and I think that it's attractive, but, you know, some men don't. So tell us a little bit about your story, your history, and your journey, how you two lovebirds came together.
Okay. Well, Greg and I have been, we're IT trainers for a long time in the same space. We actually have come across each other's paths all our lives, and we just didn't meet up until about 2011. Wow. But we literally have worked for the same companies. He used to come and holiday at the caravan park where I grew up, same town. Mm. It was just like we've been there and just crossed paths, and obviously was divine timing when we were actually due to meet. So in 2011, we were both ended up training in the same IT training company, and that's when we met.
Wow. Yeah. And then what did he do? He checked your bits and bytes and upped your algorithm. And you fell in love.
And all those ticked the boxes. Yep. That and that. So it's all good.
We actually have only been married for 4 years. And been together for 5 years. So we were both with other people at the time, and that obviously fizzled, didn't work out.
Wow.
And we were friends, but we were always from the instant, in fact, the instant we met, we became friends. We just connected.
And that's so important that you're friends first. I was longtime friends with my husband before I married him. You get to do a little data collecting. You get to do a little processing. You get to plug in your own artificial intelligence, right, and tell your own story because it's different. But, you know, a lot of technology computer work is energies and frequencies, bits and bytes and numbers and how it all comes together. Greg, how did you find yourself in the tech space?
Started off training to be a math teacher and decided I didn't really like that. Like the maths, but not so much the teaching. But when I got to the adult education, the computers sort of grabbed my attention, and the fact that you can sort of create this environment all of your own, sort of work with that. And then it got to the point where others wanted to know how to do it. And because of the background with the teaching and training, I started teaching technical colleges, then training companies, and I found I had a real knack of being able to explain things to people. So
that's good, because training is important. They're not doing that as much as they used to here in the United States. That used to be a part of your human resource packet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
X amount of training, they're not doing that. Are you finding companies are doing a lot more of that online?
Yes.
Absolutely. In the last 6 months, I've been training places sort of all around the world. So from here in Canberra, we've been training people in the Philippines and training people in Singapore and Hong Kong, New Zealand, plus all the different time zones in Australia, of course. 2 years ago, you couldn't get people to attend an online training course. And now they're kind of like, oh, do I have to turn up? Don't you do this online? Yes, we do.
I know yeah. they do. So there's other things that you do to get people turned up and get their light started. Tell me about this light language. What in the world is that?
That's actually a language of the soul. So light language is something that your soul recognizes and speaks. And quite often in the 3D, we don't always understand the actual words because it doesn't translate. It's not like trying to translate from Chinese to English or from Japanese to Australian. It's just, it doesn't work that way. But what it is, it's an energy. So it's an energy form and everybody speaks it differently because their soul speaks differently. But each soul will recognize the energy and the intent and the downloads that come with the light language when it's being spoken.
Light language is a lot like love language. Confusing.
Yeah, but it's also a connection that happens in the background and is constantly there. Janelle and I, for instance, find that we are constantly connected, even when we're not talking, even when we're not in the same room, even if we're not in the same country. Mm-hmm. And that's all those things that happen. We always have that connection to each other. So.
Yeah. Even when I was in Bali and he was here in Australia and I was doing some training and things over there. And, we were still on the same wavelength.
That's beautiful. Cool. So how do you connect that dot with your clients? How do you help them understand what their light language is and finding like-minded people that pick up on that same frequency?
As far as connecting to people, I'm what's referred to as an activator. So when we work with universal energy, and everything is energy, we're all made up of energy. We're energetic beings woven into a human body. So our energies connect, and people walk into rooms and they actually read each other's energy without knowing. It just happens. You walk into a concert, you pick up the vibe. Mm. You walk into a meeting, you know what's going on. You sense, you know that energy that's actually happening. So we teach people what that means, how to read that, how to work with that, and then how to apply it in their business, because it's really important in your business. You need to be able to have energetic readings. You need to be able to understand what your clients are saying, what you need, where your blockages are, where things will actually flow, because energy flows like a stream. Mm-hmm. So, if there's a blockage in the stream will either dry up or it will flood or it will, simply go around the blockage but not be smooth anymore. And you want your energy to flow like a stream into a river and then out into the ocean. And because we're all energy, we all work on that energetic level.
You're an activator. How do you clear yourself? How do you ground yourself? Because it's very important that you are a clear conduit for each individual that you work with. And you take on a lot of responsibility there, Greg, too, when you're working with people, because you're taking on their pain, their sorrow, their adversity, their self-limiting beliefs, that noise in the background. How do you clear yourself to make sure that you're prepared for your clients?
We have a grounding ritual that we actually do. We work with. We regularly ground and connect to Mother Earth and deep down into Mother Earth. I always do energy work with a white candle on to keep a nice white light surrounding us so that we've got nice clean energy and clean space. We also always make sure that we cut cords, energetic cords, at the end of each day. So every night before I go to sleep, I cut the energetic cords to others that I've actually been connected to, whether it's face-to-face or whether it's virtual. Those cords are cut.
Yeah, it is, because you get very entangled in all of this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we even cut cords between each other, and that's important as well, because it means it gets a chance to then reset overnight, right, for the next day. So the ones that are meant to be there will come back. Actually, I was one of Janelle's activatees, so to speak.
Really?
So I found
So Janelle turned you on? I'm mad at you. Go ahead.
You could put it that way, yes.
Go ahead.
But I'd always found that that energetic connection was always there. Even as children, we used to go and visit my grandmother. My grandmother used to read tea leaves. And when we asked, how do you do that? She'd say, well, I just feel the energy. I feel the vibrations. And as a child, I just thought it was something that other people did, that adults did. And as I grew up, I thought it was something that other people did. And it wasn't until Janelle and I got together sort of back in 2017 that she sort of flipped that switch for me and made me realize that all that stuff that I thought was coming from other people, it was actually me.
Wow.
That realization, and all of a sudden the veil's off and you get these connections and you get these insights. Even when we're training, like IT training, we can quite often, it's only the other people that train with us would find out that we would understand a question very differently to what they did, because we not only hear the question, but we take on the energy that's behind it or the confusion that's behind it. Mm-hmm. You talked about when you're training, dealing with people's anxiety and people's limiting beliefs and all that. We shield against that. One of the things we do is shield, but then we take that as an opportunity. So instead of seeing it as a negative thing, Janelle's very big on perspective and changing your perspective and looking at things from a different angle.
Reframing.
So you take that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you take that limitation and go, okay, so here's my opportunity to help this person. All right. And they go, oh, I'm not as good as them. No, but you're as good as you.
Right. Absolutely. And you have to know who you are.
Yeah, exactly. And lots of people, they don't live within their own power, you know? So that's one of the things we do is power up, power on. You know, it's a case of...
But everyone is so convoluted right now. The last 2 years have been tough on everybody around the entire globe. And no one is shielded from this. I don't care how pretty you are. I don't care how thin you are, how much money you have. We have all been influenced by this COVID, mentally, psychologically, financially, spiritually. How are you working with your people? There's a lot of anxiety there, you know, and it's great to want to take them to the next level and to stop self-limiting beliefs, but they have been crushed on. They've been stepped down.
Absolutely. So what we do is we teach them how to release negative blockages, how to release that energy and what to do. In fact, you know, if you actually take your negative energy and send it to Mother Earth and ask the Earth to transmute it into positive energy, you do that. We actually have the tools to be able to help people to end up standing in a pool of positive energy rather than negative energy. And that helps them to change their beliefs, to actually protect themselves and to change the mindset. Because, you know, most of it is, let's face it, it's, you know, 80% is mindset in whatever you do. So there's the 80-20 rule. 80% of it is mindset. 20% is the rest. So if you can actually get them to face what they're actually worried about and work with that and look at the fact that they are supported. They're not alone here in this world. So many people feel like they're alone and they're the only ones, and they're not, you know, and whatever they feel, we help them to get rid of their programming, their previous life or past life programming, whatever's happening, and they stand in their own power, their own sense of self. And that helps them to realize that A, they're not alone, and B, they can actually reach out to others.
Right. So let's take it to a far out level. You guys are in the tech space. Artificial intelligence is gobbling us up. We're into 5G. Greg, I don't know, how can we check our energy field? Because it's going bing, 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 bing. You know, nobody is in a straight trajectory right now. We don't know. We're trying to get through this metaphysical portal of energy and change and uncertainty, but we're still just kind of, you know, we don't get it. We don't feel it. We don't know how to process it. What do you say to those people that are afraid and fearful?
You need to shield yourself. And a lot of that is to do with attitude. All right. If you start to believe that this is going to affect me and that's going to affect me, then it will. It's kind of like when you try to attract something, somebody says, look, I'm going to give you a car, and you go, oh God, hope it's not a blue one, not a blue one, not a blue one. You get a blue one because that's the thing that you've been focused on. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with all these energies. That if you believe that, oh my goodness, the 5G is going to follow me, oh my goodness, the 5G is going to do this, okay? But if you refuse to believe it, if you have the mindset that it's not going to do that, then you're a long way along the path. Okay. We also teach people how to shield, how to visualize their shielding, and different people visualize shielding differently. Some people, like all my techie friends, like to think they have a shield like the USS Enterprise in Star Trek. So they go, you know, right. Shields up and bang. Exactly. We've got a couple of our clients that see themselves wearing a full-length Red Riding Hood cloak that is their shield. And that's their mental barrier. That's their energetic barrier against everything that's outside of them.
Wow.
And they only allow the good things in. They only allow their good stuff out, and it stops them. The negatives. Others visualize themselves as being in suits of armor, like the old knights.
Wow.
The thing is, it doesn't matter. It's different for everybody. Absolutely. But everybody can do this whole shielding process. And it's one of the things that we take our students through. We share how to believe, how to shield, how to create that energetic barrier around you.
And when to.
Let me ask a question, a cultural question. Are you two both born and raised Australian?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So when I talk to my Australian guests, I have tons of them. I don't hear a lot of people talk about religion so much as energy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hear them talk about any religious particular doctrine. I hear them talk about energy. I hear them talk about force. I hear them talk about light work. Do you think that that is, you know, is that a thing culturally of the region of all people? I mean, the Aborigines people are some of the first original people on the planet. Okay, mm-hmm. They have an extra chromosome. There's something going on down in Australia that there's a vortex. I feel like it's the core, I call it the root chakra of the world. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that there's a different connection there? Religious doctrine, to me, is there's a place for that, as well as spirituality, because your religion, your discipline, your rules are different than your higher calling and your spirituality. How do people bridge that? Does that make sense to you, that question? Because I don't hear a lot of that conversation.
Yeah. Yes, you're right about the Indigenous, and you'll find it is a very, very strong connection to the earth. They have an amazing connection to the earth. So... And in fact, Uluru, which used to be called Esrock,
mm-hmm.
Is actually a vortex. It is actually a center place. There's going to be big, and it's an energy force. It's a massive energy force. And there's going to be, when things start happening, it'll start happening at Uluru. Mm-hmm. So that's actually true. There is religion down here. I actually used to be the office manager for a local Anglican church.
Okay.
I grew up as an Anglican, you know, but one of the things that I'm being told about you is that you attract the light workers, and that's why they come to you, is because they know that you will listen, that you will share, and that you are there. And that's why you will find you're getting a lot of light workers. Thank because you. They're feeling safe with you. You create a lovely safe container and space for them to actually be real and share with you. So although there is, you know, I guess religion is not as strong here now as it was 20 years ago.
Okay.
To be fair, most people are more moving into the energy space, but they are around the world. And we do have a very big multicultural society here in Australia. So we've got a lot of people from all different cultures. And it's one of the things I love about it. Yeah.
It's very different. It's very sacred. You know, it's a sacred place. I really do realize that. So what do you do for fun and recreation? Paint your fingernails?
Normally, yeah, they've been clean for about 3 days. Sorry.
I wanted to see them. What is your fascination with painting your fingernails? You paint them black?
Black or blue, generally.
Oh, blue.
Somehow green, right?
That's very popular now in pop culture. You see, like the singer Sting, he paints his gray.
Yeah.
So what made you paint your nails?
Just because I can, because I liked it. But the black tends to be more of a protection color. So most of your protection energies and protection crystals and stuff are like the blacks or the reds in terms of their coloring. Sometimes blue, sometimes I use it to help balance the feminine and masculine energies
okay
around us.
Mm.
I thought thought it because you were an undercover rock star too, because the rock stars have always...
No, that is the most common question I get. What instrument do you play? And the only instrument I can play is a CD player.
Oh, wow. I'm friends with Sharon Osbourne, and you know, Ozzy was the first one. Him and Prince, they could put on a mean eyeliner, and Ozzy would always paint his nails there. But there's a certain independence there, because you know, people just they don't allow you to be, and that's what I encourage people to do. Yeah. Wherever you are, there's place. You know, God didn't, you know, make everyone out of a cookie cutter. Everybody is unique.
Yeah. And that comes back to a lot of our perspective with the religion and the spirituality thing, in that with the spirituality, and we really don't like the word spirituality in lots of ways because it gets so associated with religion specifically.
Well, it's misused.
It's misused.
Well, they don't understand that they're, you know, like I said, religion is, in my perspective, a discipline, a doctrine, a rule, a guideline, but spirituality is the ultimate destination. You know, getting to that place of energy, the energy of source. Some people, you know, call it God, goddess, universe, all of that. But just like everything else.
We have them called God, universe, source, creator.
Divine,
and a lot of other names. But the thing with the way we approach it is that there's not one way of doing it. People say, oh, how do I meditate? Well, that's up to you. Some people like to sit in a little quiet room. You don't have to wear an orange robe and levitate, which is
my style. I know.
I always say, you know, don't have to wear an orange robe and levitate to meditate.
Right.
People sort of see that. Being woo.
I was doing that the other day. I was in I got out the shower, and we have a really nice chair in the bathroom. And I sat there, and I just got in Zen mode. It just took me there. It's not a certain ritualistic practice. Mm-hmm. You don't have to play the gong. You don't have to light the incense, but you do have to breathe, connect to source, and calm the monkey mind.
Yes, and there's so many different ways to do it. You know, I don't often close my eyes to meditate, because one of the big things I have is trouble keeping my eyes closed. So I spend half the time going, close your eyes, close your eyes. Close your eyes. And of course, you don't get there when you're actually doing that.
Okay, because I want to ask a question here. When you meditate and you don't close your eyes, are you staring at a focal point? Are you talking to your subconscious mind? Where are you at?
Usually it's a point on the wall or it's a flame. Mm-hmm. So quite often I'll do eye gazing meditation where I'm actually gazing at a flame or a focal point of some sort. When we do most spiritual work, I don't have my eyes closed. I see it either here or in my mind, and I don't need to have my eyes closed. I don't need to get to that point. But, you know, people do that when they do walking meditation. They just walk.
Right.
You know, and there's all sorts of different forms. So the traditional, you don't have to do the traditional close your eyes, sit in the lotus position and, you know, go out to it. People can, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, walking, but running, playing music.
Tai Chi, you know, yoga, painting, artists, when they get into that zone, runners, when they get into the zone, it's all connection.
So speaking
of the IT stuff that we do, the same thing, we'll get focused on a project and you get into the desk and under the computer and just zone.
That's him.
And nothing else happens.
Well, I mean, that's your happy place, because that's your place of creativity. And Einstein, one of my heroes, was great on creativity. He said it's not the actual product, but it's the imagination. You know, to be able to open that up and share it. There's nothing new under the sun. It's just how you deliver it and innovation. Now, Janelle, you incorporate your work into a business setting, into corporate coaching. How does this... how does it really help a business owner to develop their business and to move forward, to bring their employees online? How does this work in the business space?
Well, because for years I worked in a business enterprise center. My mum was a business advisor for 20 odd years. So I understand the concept of business, but a lot of businesses struggle to actually pivot to be online, which is where we are now. We're in a global space. So bringing your business online is where you need to be, but people don't understand how to transfer the energy, how to work with all of that, what they need to do to be able to take their business from being, for example, face-to-face, which is trickier now with COVID and everything that's going on, and making it into an online space. You know, they have fear that's associated with that, so that creates blockages. They have issues with technology, again, creating blockages. With both of our experience with technology, with energy work, with everything that we do, we can help them to actually overcome those blockages, get the business flowing again, and pivot it to an online space.
Okay, because that is so important. And Greg, I know that you can really speak to this and love this. A lot of people are doing these online programs. I talk to everybody and they got an online program. The challenge is selling the online program, number one. Number two, what is in that online program is not necessarily what people are looking for in their business today. It is not 2019. Things have changed in this space the last 2 years dramatically. And also gamification. They want some sort of reward to get them to get all the way to the end of the program. They want it quick and slick. Do you find these elements when you work with your clients, when they're trying to build their online programs, are they incorporating some of these things?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not like it was 5 years ago where you just take the instruction book that you had and put each page up and go, read that, click, read that. There's got to be that interaction. There's got to be visualization. We use people do PowerPoint to death, and I get that. But
oh, God. I hate that. You go somewhere and it's like 30 slides.
Yes.
Really?
So you do a half hour presentation and you've got a 30 second PowerPoint that just goes bang, 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 and you end it, then that's using the word properly. It's like the language. People use language so differently. People use a lot of swear words often to create emphasis, but you watch a lot of movies and every second word is a swear word.
I'm watching one now, and I'm telling you, they overuse that F-bomb.
If you get right to the very end and it's the last word of a movie, there's the impact, okay, rather than desensitizing people to it the whole way through. And the same thing with PowerPoint or any of the presentation tools. So the other thing that we find is that a lot of our courses need to be set up so that you diverge. We have an outline, we have a syllabus, so this is the sort of stuff that we'll cover. I think the last three or four courses that we've run, we've got as far as page two before it's diverged completely. Right. Yeah. Because the group needs something else. The energy of the group changes, and we see the energy change from day one. Even little things like, how do you answer your emails? If you answer your emails on demand, you focus so much energy on your emails, and that energy is not available to your business. Whereas if you do your emails at 9 o'clock and then 11 o'clock, you've got that 2 hours in between where emails are not sucking the energy out of your business.
That's another tip for social media. If you constantly post, it is reducing your algorithm. They're looking to see your screen time. Remember, Brains, this is a free service that you're using. And people are selling everything from soup to nuts on it. And it's supposed to be social interaction. So when they notice that there's more of a marketing and publicity focus than how you doing? And this is the tip of the day, or here's a picture of my dog. When they see that more than that activity is going on, it reduces your connectivity. And you're only touching a certain percentage or a certain portion. Tell us a little bit about algorithms. What are algorithms for people that don't know, Greg?
An algorithm, as an example, we wanted a new desk for the office. So I got on and did a search for desks in my area. For 3 weeks, every ad I got was about a desk. Or about office furniture, or about office equipment. So the program that you're searching for looks at your keywords, looks at your keywords, and then stores them. And every time you log on, it goes, oh, Greg looked for desk. So here's 500 things about a desk. There you go. And you see nothing else. So it tends to kind of focus or funnel you down the path towards the clients they have that deal with those issues.
Yeah, and it's a maths.
Yeah. It's mathematical probability and statistics. Yeah. And,
okay. So that's also what they call your cookies. Your cookies are what they, you know, what they do to track you and to keep you, to know where you are.
That's
a tricky little name, cookies. It makes you seem like something good to eat, but it's really tracking.
It's kind of a crumb that's left behind. For those that don't know, it's a little text file that just gets stored on your machine, on your phone or your laptop. And when you do a search program or log onto their site, it goes, oh, we have a cookie. What did they look for last time? That's what we'll focus them on this time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it just records your information.
Last question. I think I asked you this previously. Do you recommend that people go in and clear their history, clear out old emails, change your passwords, every 3 months? What do you think?
Yep, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. A 2 to 3 month routine is not a bad idea, but you need to have some sort of pattern to it, because if you go, I need to change my password. It's been 6 months. I haven't changed my password.
Right.
Check yourself. Again, the same thing as checking your emails. You do your emails on a regular basis, do your passwords on a regular basis. Okay. Mm-hmm. But don't do things like your own name or your own name backwards or your kids' names or your dog's names and all those sorts
of
things.
Right. A combination of letters and numbers
and symbols.
And don't answer those online quizzes about tell me 10 things about yourself. Oh, they're the first 10 things that people are going to try when they crack your password.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. And if you don't think about it, it's kind of like, oh, yeah.
They do, because you changing your password, you have to think about it. But I got a system on how I came up with it. And remembering your password, because you'll get locked out.
Yes.
Thank you for that. That's a quick update. Brains, go in and change your passwords. It's really super duper important. Janelle, tell me what is going on at Feather of Gold.
Yeah, well, Feather of Gold is our company. And we created the company four years ago. And we were excited to try and figure out what the name was. So we asked the universe to provide us with some information and, some suggestions, some signs. Wandered around in that week, I found 40 different feathers, and I'm thinking, okay, it's got to be a sign. So then I got guided for 3 days in a row. I felt the urge to go and watch the sunset. So I watched the sunset for 3 days in a row. The sunset was really gold. And feather, of course, is a something to do with freedom and with writing. And of course, for those who work with angelic, it's that a sign as well. Golden energy is, of course, universal energy. So we thought, well, obviously that's what it's meant to be. Greg woke up one morning, looked at me, and said, golden feathers. And I went, and I got in my head, no. So, okay, that wasn't what it was meant to be. Like, okay. And then I said to him, what about feather of gold? Because a feather is also a quill where you do writing and connection.
Yes,
and
but it's also very erotic. Have either one of you ever had a feather massage?
Yes.
Brains, that's for mature adults only, honey. Let me tell you, the way that the energy...
Absolutely.
The way that the energy transfers on your body, lightly blazing over your body, it is euphoric. It is absolutely amazing. Let me ask a question. Talking about feathers, if you were an animal, a spirit animal, Greg, what animal would you be and why?
Yeah, spirit animals and spirit guides are a whole area on itself, and
what would you be though?
They do tend to change a little bit as you connect. But I don't know.
What would you be? I know what I'd be. Go on.
I'd be an eagle. I would definitely be an eagle.
Fly and soar. Yeah.
Absolutely. What would you be?
I would be a she-wolf.
Oh boy. Why?
Because she-wolves, they're mothers of cubs and they look after the cubs, but they're also really the leaders of the pack. You know, they really do, the male wolves go out and look and whatever, but the she-wolf is, the energy there is both feminine and masculine energy, because they've got the strength of the wolf, but they've got the feminine energy of the female. and that they will, you know, fight to protect their young. They will look after them. They raise them, but they're also in charge of everything else that's going on. So, to me, I actually have a shulf as a spirit
animal. Do you like to be a woman in charge? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do, because there's no reason why women can't be in charge. You know, I love it. I love the energy that you gain, because you can balance your masculine and feminine. You can actually balance your, you know, use your masculine energy and do the, what need to be done and get everything done and sorted. And in the IT world, I had to stand up and use my masculine energy, because as a female trainer, if I hadn't shown a certain groups of, you know, training that I was running training courses for, that I knew my stuff by morning tea, they would almost get up and leave, because they just literally, you had to prove to them that you knew your stuff because you're a female.
Exactly. And you know what, Greg, I commend you wholeheartedly. You remind me a lot of my husband, that there is a strong force, that you do not have a problem or a concern with having a strong feminine energy. That's not that the woman is trying to take over, but she knows who she is. She can walk in her own light and she can take care of herself. And that's how my husband is, you know, and that makes for a beautiful marriage, because again, sometimes, you know, I see that he's more docile and more, you know, more tender and more soft. I love that we can play off of each other with those roles, but that takes work and that takes maturity. You know, I've been married 37 years. You guys just been married 5, but you married at a mature age. You had already been through that infancy stage. Yeah. So now you know what you want, and you're comfortable in the roles that you play, and that's powerful.
Yeah, very much so. And there's no sort of defined, she must do this and he must do that. It's like, Janelle will get busy with stuff, so I'll go and cook dinner or do the dishes or vacuum the house, and I get busy, so Janelle goes and does all that stuff. It's kind of like, who's available? And I think, going back to your question, the ox would probably be the animal that I would choose. Because they're not the fastest, but they're slow and steady, and they will get there and do all the right bits along the way.
And they're strong.
Yeah.
Yes,
and power. My dad used to nickname me Octopus because he reckoned I had 8 arms. I was that clumsy. I needed 8 arms to drop as many things as I did. But yeah.
Oh, well, I thought you were that talented that you could multitask and do so many things. You had 8 arms.
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
See, there's the perspective. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Changing it. So, what are 3 things, Janelle, that you cannot live without? And I don't want to hear Greg. I already know Greg is one of them.
Okay, 3 things I can't live without. My connection to the universe, could not survive without that. My crystals. And, that's a really tricky one. Probably my friends. I love the connection to friends.
Greg, what are 3 things that you cannot live without?
The having been activated, which goes back to the connection, my computer equipment, because it gives me so much freedom to do all the things that I need to do, and family.
That's beautiful. Do you guys have children?
Yes.
7 between us.
Wow. So what do your kids think about the work that you do? They say, you know, my parents are, you know, way out. My dad is real cool. He got a ponytail. He paints his nails. And my mom, she's, you know, a hard charger, a woman in tech space, and she activates people. What are they thinking about you? Are they able to catch up?
they're supportive. They're supportive in whatever we do, so, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, as long as we're, you know, happy in doing what we do, they do sort of understand, but they haven't really stepped into the space yet, so that's fine. But they're supportive, and they're really excited as the business grows and as we started doing the coaching and things now, and they're like, wow, this is really awesome. So they're good.
My daughter didn't understand what I did, and I didn't understand what she did for the longest either. But you have to allow people time to really find out who they are and love them in whatever space they are. So many times people are trying to change you, trying to make you do something that you don't want to do, instead of allowing you to be who you are. This is your individual journey, brains. This is not April's dual journey. This is not Gregory's triple journey. This is not Janelle's quadruple journey. This is your individual space. But be able to explore it and be able to be comfortable with it. Don't fear it. Feel the fear and do it anyway. Again, we only touch a small percentage of our subconscious mind. There's two or three people running around in your head that you don't even know who the heck they are. Never met them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And you would find so many things. So do you guys also there at Feather of Gold, do you have other practitioners that work with you? Maybe Reiki, timeline therapy, NLP. Do you combine any other modalities, or is it basically light language and, you know, energy work?
Okay. Energy work. And now that we've stepped into the coaching, business coaching, intuitive business coaching space, we are in the process. We have got one of our team members has stepped up to become a client relationship manager, and she's doing really, really well. She originally was a VA, a virtual assistant for us, and has been activated to the stage where she actually works with energy now. Mm-hmm. And so she's come on board as a relationship, client relationship manager.
She gives us advice from time to time.
Yeah, she amazing. Yeah, does amazing stuff. And we've got another young girl who's doing virtual assistant work with us. As far as healers and things go, we tend to hire them as we need them. So if we've got somebody, you know, and or we'll do referrals. So we work in conjunction with collaboration with other.
Oh, that's really businesses. Good. That's really good. Because you don't want to just, you know, be stuck. You want to be able to have options and choices. And that's great. So tell my brains how to get in contact with you two dynamic duo, and how can they can get activated.
Awesome. Well, you can find me on Facebook as Janelle G. Watson. And that's probably the easiest way, because Greg doesn't jump on his Facebook very often.
Yeah, the IT guy is not big on Facebook.
No, he's an IT trainer. No,
my husband isn't either. He's not a big fan of technology. He goes, you're the social media person, not me. Greg, let me ask you one quick, maybe two or three quick more tech questions, if you don't mind. Cybersecurity is on everybody's face and on their tongue. My girlfriend, her husband, just got caught up in some ransomware. You know, and I had another guest on my show that talked about cybersecurity. Will you reiterate to people how they should clean their cookies, their history, change their passwords? You know, what are some basic tips that we should do to try to protect ourselves in this space? Because everything is a point and a click. And you see everybody's getting, you know, hacked in all these different social media accounts. I get emails from strange people. I'm afraid to open them up. I could be missing a great opportunity. Give us a couple quick tips to take away.
Yeah, and that's where a lot of it works. It works on that FOMO, the fear of missing out. So, you know, click here. We get any number in any one day messages saying, you appear in this video, have a look. Yeah, no. Okay. We couldn't deliver your package today. So click here to track. So a lot of it is, if you don't know it, chances are it doesn't belong to you, really. All right, so you have to be careful of clicking on links, and some of the links that you click on will automatically load and run programs for you. Okay, and that's part of the problem. So if you're not sure about it, delete it. Okay, if it's really important, it'll come back to you. All right, that's the thing with that. Make sure you've got a bit of virus software installed.
Okay, even on Macs.
Yeah. The Macs used to be sort of
virus proof, really, weren't they?
Yeah, pretty much.
But not anymore.
No, but they've sort of moved into that space as well. And make sure you've got a backup system in place. So many people like lose their phone and they lose all the photos of their kids at different ages and so on. So back the things up, you know, plug it in and back it up. We have our two portable hard drives here. We've got access to online storage as well. So all the stuff that we do is backed up. So if anybody sort of hooked into us with ransomware, and again, not bringing that in, but we've got backups of everything. So we just reset the whole machine and start again.
And the same actually with your phone. With your phone, they go to change a phone, or their phone gets stolen or gets broken or whatever. If you've actually if you lose your contacts and things on your phone, if you've actually saved them, for example, to maybe a Google Drive or a Google to Google account, so something online, then all you've got to do when you get a new phone is download them from there rather than saving them to the phone. This is the problem. People save it to the hardware. And when the hardware falls over, fails, gets corrupted, same thing, you find that people, you know, they've lost it all. It's all gone and you can't get it back.
That's great. What do you guys think about AI? I've been looking into some companies. You know, I'm a risk taker. I love to make an investment. Artificial intelligence, you know, because I got in on the ground floor of Zoom. I got in on the ground floor of also GPS. But I had no idea that the GPS was, I mean, everything is GPS, from going to your destination to your boss following you and your productivity at work. To you pointing where your kids are in an emergency. Yep. Great. But artificial intelligence, how are we going to live in a world of duality with that? Because it's getting pretty advanced. My girlfriend has a refrigerator that talks to her, that tells her she needs milk and all that. That's crazy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's awesome. I think it's great as long as it can be monitored, as long as it can still be shut down if it needs to be. That's the only, that's what most people fear with artificial intelligence, isn't it? That's going to take over the world. I don't know that we're, our brains and the way we think is so amazing as a creation. I'm not, still not 100% convinced that they'll actually ever create something as unique as a human being.
You don't think so? I've been to the Salk Institute. That's an awful conversation. Let me tell you, there is some stuff out there.
Oh, yeah, there is.
There's some stuff out there. Brains, you think that they just come up with this science fiction? Oh, no.
It's no, that's
fact,
true.
It's fact. It's fact. It, you know, there's a lot of great stuff going on. But you guys are great. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, the thing is, though, what they need to figure out is adding the emotional content and the moral content. Mm-hmm. And that's where they need to, I guess, if you can incorporate that, then I think it's endless. The possibilities are endless.
You know, but the thing about it is if you look at the world right now, we are so desensitized to those two emotions. True. So for them to create something that is just on automatic.
Mm.
So that's why I'm saying, brains, that you need to get sensitive, that you need to get wise, you need to get smart, and you need to stay on the edge right here, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, the responses are never dull, and you can visit the Feather of Gold if you are there in Australia, but they're also online. You know, tap into it, have that conversation, try to uncover the under-discovered. You would find that it's a brilliant experience. Nothing to be afraid of. You're working with two masters, and I adore them. Thank you so much for you two being here on The Edge. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for having us. We had a great time.
Thank you. Brains, get together. Check your energy level. Oh, your tank might be low. Bye-bye.